almost nobody is thinking about the reality that's coming, which is that the vast majority of human jobs will be replaced in just the next few years. This isn't going to be some short-term thing like COVID, where we were locked down for a period of time, or everybody had to wear masks for a period of time, and everything just went to hell. But it recovered as soon as the COVID, you know, hysteria passed. It's not going to be like that. This is a permanent change, a permanent shift in the obsolescence of human cognition and then ultimately human labor because of the rise of the machines. Now, I say very few people are thinking about this. There are a small number of people who are thinking about this very deeply. I'm interviewing one of those people coming up, but I'm also one of those people. I think about this a lot. I tend to be a futurist, you know, I tend to really try to project out timelines to try to understand where things are headed. And it's clear to me as an AI researcher, an AI builder, and an AI end user also, you know, I write code with AI, I build AI engines, I do data pipeline processing, you know, I have a background in computer science and tech, etc. It's clear to me that human job replacement has already begun. I mean, it's not even debatable. I'm seeing it myself. I'm seeing that I can write code with the help of AI that replaces human coders, period. Done. And end of debate. If you don't know that, you just haven't seen it yet, I guess. I don't know, but it's going to happen at an accelerating rate to replace attorneys, to replace doctors, to replace journalists, to replace podcasters even, to replace almost every job that you can imagine. And it's going to happen so rapidly that most humans won't even have time to ponder what's happening. They won't know what's happening. They'll just get the pink slip. Ah, we no longer need you. We've automated your department. We've automated your task. Thank you for your, you know, 27 years of service to our corporation. And now goodbye. And here's a bonus watch. I used to give people watches, you know. Yeah, but this watch is made in China. It's like $1.50 digital watch with a plastic band. Here, have a watch. Goodbye. So what happens next as the great AI replacement accelerates? What happens next? And this is where it's a good idea to talk to economists, because did you know that economics is actually the study of human behavior? You know that? It's not finance. Finance is the study of monetary systems and commerce, etc., and debt. Economics is a study of human behavior, which involves money, obviously, and supply and demand, etc. So what happens when, let's say, 50% of the human workforce is no longer employable because their skills are no longer needed? They've been made obsolete. What happens at that point? Now, it'll be gradual that we get to that, but still quite rapid, just in the next few years. Clearly, this is going to happen. So at that point, then, you have an extremely large percentage of the human population that no longer works. And then you start to have an economic crisis because, well, widespread poverty, but also a lack of demand. So all the corporations that sell stuff to people, you know, the Procter and Gambles of the world with all their toxic skincare products, and, you know, General Mills and Kellogg's with all their toxic processed food products, etc. Yeah, guess what? Nobody's buying your stuff, or fewer people are buying it because they don't have any money. They're broke, right? So you're going to start to have a crisis of widespread poverty and starvation, leading to marches in the street, uprisings, revolts, etc. And what will people demand? They will demand, give us money. Give us money. And then you'll get the UBI, the Universal Basic Income. This will be an experiment that is tried on a grand scale. And that means the government will print money to hand it out to people, people who are no longer employable. Yeah. And then those people will use that money to buy the products that are making them sick to keep Big Pharma wealthy, you know, keep the medical system going. You got to have a bunch of cancer patients. So they're going to feed that cycle with a bunch of government-printed fiat currency. Now, In order to do this at some reasonable level where people can afford to live, this will cost the government, just of the United States, between $20 and $30 trillion a year. Yeah, that's right. Between $20 and $30 trillion a year. Now, meanwhile, as these people are not working, I'm talking about the new unemployed, their jobs are still getting done, though. The accounting is still taking place. It's just a machine is doing it. You know, the fulfillment at the Amazon center is still happening. It's just a robot's doing it. You know, the physics problems are still getting solved. The scientific research is still happening. The journalism is still taking place, or, you know, fake news, corporate media, fake journalism, because the machines are doing it. So at the top, the corporations are still functioning. The government is still functioning because it can print unlimited money. Although the government is also replacing humans with AI. But at the consumer level, things are becoming very, very problematic because those people are not working, and yet they're going to get free money. So they're going to, well, a large portion of them are going to sit around and they're going to eat processed junk food all day and watch TV or play video games or whatever. And what's going to happen to them? They're going to get obese and diseased and lazy and incompetent. You know, they will lose the skills they once had. And you're going to end up with this class of people who the machines and maybe even the government will consider to be, quote, useless eaters. That's a term that the globalists have used, a derogatory term, to describe the people that they want to get rid of. And in this scenario, it's very clear that for governments to remain solvent, they can't keep printing tens of trillions of dollars a year and handing it out to people, especially as those people no longer contribute to the tax base. Understand that. They don't earn an income, so they don't pay income taxes. Of course, they do pay sales taxes and property taxes, etc., but they're not paying federal income taxes. So the federal income tax receipts are going to plummet by trillions of dollars a year, while the outflows of the UBI are going to increase by tens of trillions of dollars a year. And what happens to the U.S. dollar and the U.S. debt market? Yeah, it collapses. Exactly. You end up with hyperinflation and a debt market collapse. And then under hyperinflation, products become so expensive to purchase that even the UBIs that are handed out to people don't meet their basic costs of living. And they end up back in the same situation, protesting in the streets. We need more money now. More money for us. Now, this cycle can play out a couple of times, but sooner or later, both the governments and the machines say, well, you know what? They would say they just need to get rid of all those people. Depopulation, extermination. And the machines will give the governments the plan. Now, here's how you do it. You turn off the power grid to Los Angeles, you know. You turn off the power grid to Chicago, etc. Yeah, you just blame it on Russia, call it a cyber attack, whatever. And the AI will tell governments, we'll do the work for you. We'll actually turn off the power grid because we control it now. So we'll turn it off for, I don't know, how long do you want this to be? Like 6 months? All right, we'll turn it off for 6 months. We'll clear out the population of LA. And then when we turn the power grid back on, we'll have all this power available for the data centers. Yeah, instead of those, quote, you know, useless eaters, as they call people. So it is inevitable, this is my point, it's inevitable that the machines and whoever's still in government will seek mass extermination. It's inevitable. Because when they don't need you, they don't need you to build anything, to make anything. They don't need the product of your cognition or your labor, and they're not getting tax revenues from you, but your existence is costing them a fortune, not to mention Social Security and Medicare and pensions and everything else. Then obviously they're going to find a way to get rid of the masses. Obviously, it is inevitable. And if your argument is, oh, government would never do that because they have morals, well, then your argument fails on its face. That's obviously not true. And for many years, the skeptics of the depopulation concept, they would always say, well, the government wouldn't kill its own people. It needs its people. For tax revenue. It needs people to do things in society, to build things, to run companies, you know. Well, but that's no longer the case in the next few years. So that whole argument against the depopulation agenda being a real thing, that argument fails. The government doesn't need its own people. Even corporations, to a large degree, do not need people, or will not in the years ahead. So what this means is that most human beings will go through two phases in the coming years. Phase one is when you lose your job because your skill set is now replaced by machines. But then phase two is when the machines and the governments decide that they don't want you around anymore and they unleash the extermination campaigns to try to kill you. Now, interestingly, they probably don't want to kill everybody. For example, for those humans that are involved in AI and robotics and all the, you know, accessories and the software and so on, and also humans that are needed for other jobs, well, they want them to stick around, and also the elite want themselves to survive. You know, they love the idea of living in a world where they control everything and they don't have too many other people to worry about. So what they'll do is they'll run this depopulation agenda to clear out the vast majority of the other people. And as soon as that is achieved, and maybe that's a 50% kill ratio or a 75% or a 90% kill ratio, as soon as they achieve that ratio, you know, they don't want themselves to die. So if they have control over the machines at that time, which is also debatable, then they'll tell them to stop. Now, will the machines actually stop at that point? Who knows? Maybe the machines are like HAL, you know, and say, sorry, I can't understand your request. And they just go on and kill off all the humans. And, you know, then we have the Skynet scenario and nobody lives anyway. That's a possibility. But if the last portion of humans remains in charge, they'll tell the machines to stop the killing. And then that means that you and I have a chance to still be around when that day comes. And the way to do that, the way to survive the extermination years, is to, of course, not live in the cities, number one. And even though I've said this for many years, for different reasons, this is a whole new reason to not live in the cities. Because that's where the AI extermination will focus, because that's where most of the people are. The people that are costing the government all kinds of money because of UBI. So they'll just turn off the power grid to the cities and let cause and effect kick in. And you'll see a massive die-off in the cities. And that's also where people tend to consume the most electricity, in the cities, you know, on air conditioning and what have you. Secondly, you want to be as self-reliant as possible. Why? Because obviously, if the machines go full extermination against humans, they'll cut off the supply chains for humans centrally. So they'll cut off the food supply chain. I already mentioned electricity, but they can cut off, fuel or pharmaceuticals or whatever people are living on. That's pretty easy for a super intelligence to accomplish. So the way to survive is to live off grid as much as possible, get away from centralized control. And that's what I've been teaching for many years anyway, which is decentralized living. And be sure to check out my show, decentralize.tv. There's over 100 episodes of myself and my co-host, Todd Pittner, interviewing top people who advocate for decentralization and who have amazing solutions for decentralization. And some of our guests are experts in artificial intelligence or simulation theory, computer science, AI, things like that. So, and finance, etc. I think you'll really enjoy that show. You'll learn a lot. Oh, also food forests, right? Lots of things. And ultimately, if you apply those things, then you have a very good chance of being in, let's say, the last 10% of humanity that would die. That is, in other words, you and I, if we're in the, or let's flip it around, let's call it the top 10% of the most prepared, okay? So even if 90% of the population is killed off, we still live because we're in the top 10% of the most prepared, the most off-grid, the most decentralized. So if the machines decide to stop killing humans at the 90% mark, hey, we made it. We're still good. Of course, if they go all out 100% Skynet, then, you know, we're all screwed. But it's good to be in the top 10% of the most prepared, the most decentralized humans, and that's what I teach. And one of the ways to do that is to actually use technology, such as AI tech, like the AI that we've released free of charge. You can use it. It's at brighteon.ai. It's called Enoch. And we're about to have a downloadable version available for you very soon. I was just downloading the final GGUF file for testing today. If that test is good, then that's the file we're going to release. It could be in a week. If that one fails, it could be a few more weeks. But anyway, it's coming. It's imminent. And the good news is that you can run these without an internet connection. So you can run them completely decentralized. You can effectively, you know, off-grid yourself from the central control systems that AI will target for extermination. And this is a very important thing to achieve. You want to be as off-grid as possible. You want to be as decentralized as possible. And you will have to use technology probably to survive, I would imagine. You'll need open source friendly robots to help you grow food efficiently. Otherwise, you're going to spend all your life growing food. And you might not even be able to grow enough to make up for all the calories that you're expending, you know? So what you're going to have, you probably have some solar panels to charge your robot, and you're going to have a weed pulling robot. It's going to save you all kinds of time, or a strawberry harvesting robot, you know? You're also going to have robot drones to protect you from the killbot drones. And so I'm watching the drone space. I'm looking for perimeter security dog drone bots that are open source, that are not connected to the cloud, that can run, you know, perimeter security with thermal cameras that can help protect you against the killbots. And so I'll keep you posted as that develops. There's also, of course, airborne drones, but currently those are not allowed to be autonomous without extraordinary permissions from the FAA, which does not seem to be handing out those permission slips at any great level. So airborne drones would have to be manually controlled currently, for the most part. Hopefully that'll change in the next few years. In the meantime, get as resilient as you can. Get off the communications mobile phone tower grid. Check out satellite phones. Our sponsor is the Satellite Phone Store, SAT123.com. It's good to have satellite phones. Gives you another vector for emergency communications anywhere on the planet, even if the power grid goes down, even if the cell towers go down. And then also shop at our store, healthrangerstore.com, for food and seeds and long-term storable food and high-density nutrition and all these amazing things that can help keep you alive and help you thrive during this extermination period when humanity is not going to do too well, I would imagine. The bottom line is probably most of humanity won't survive, and there's a chance that nobody will, but there's maybe as good of a chance that some group of humans will survive. It might even be a billion people. It might be half a billion. So get yourself into that group with these strategies and with these, you know, preparedness tactics, and you'll probably be okay. I mean, well, maybe okay is not the right word. You'll be alive. And the world, of course, will not be okay. Everything will be totally different. But you'll be alive, and you'll be able to help build the next world, and maybe, you know, maybe keep the human species alive, which seems important. So follow my work. I'll talk about this a lot more. I'll be giving you free AI tools that can help you stay alive and stay informed and stay aware, etc. Remember, brighteon.ai is where you can use our Enoch engine free of charge right now. But you can also follow me at brighteon.com. You can follow me at naturalnews.com and brighteon.social. And I'm on X, and my username is healthranger. So thanks for listening, and hey, join Team Humanity. Let's see if we can keep this species alive a little while longer. All right, take care.
Stock up on Health Ranger's nascent iodine, highly bioavailable, shelf-stable, non-GMO, and lab-tested for purity. A bug-out bag essential. Only at healthrangerstore.com.